All right, he gave me a thumbs up. That's good. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant, of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Lord, we do thank You for this day. Lord, we do thank You for the privilege to come to Your house. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word, for Your Son Jesus, Lord, who died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we thank You for the freedom we have in this country right now to be able to come to Your house freely and to be able to worship. And Lord, we have to admit that it crosses our mind that I do a lot of praying and others do about the freedoms that we see are going away from us, being taken away. And Lord, anything pertaining to the Bible, anything pertaining to Jesus, Lord, they don't want us to do any of that. It seems that it's getting worse every day. But Lord, we thank You for our opportunity that we do have right now. And that, Lord, we don't take it lightly. And we thank You for it. Ask You, Lord, to be with each one here. Open our hearts and our hearts' ears to Your Word. And we thank You in Christ's name and amen. Really, the main word I want us to look at is in the very first verse. He says, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, Peter was looking at his last days. You know, when you're in your last days, when you really get to the point that you're possibly not going to be here tomorrow. Well, you start thinking real serious. And you start thinking, what can I do that's going to make a difference before I go? You know, I there's been a few times I thought, well, this is it. But I wasn't in it. It was a split-second part there. Peter knew, though, that his time was nearing the end. Just like the Apostle Paul, when he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy, he knew that his time was right there. And Peter says, I want to stir you up. And I want you to understand that word stir doesn't just mean just stir. It really gave the meaning in the Greek of agitating like the sea, like the we used to go down to the Gulf of Mexico after hurricanes and the sand was still stirred up in the water. And because the seas were so violent. And I was out in a hurricane one time on an oil rig. And in the Gulf, and the hurricane come through, and we had buckled everything down. Wasn't even sure we'd make it through the night, but we didn't have a choice. It was like you're 80 miles out in the ocean. Nobody came to get you. It's like, hello, God. And I wasn't even saved, but I was praying about it. and a lot of us guys were doing some serious talk about, hey, what are we going to do here? And but, you know, when I remember seeing the ocean as we were securing everything, We were 50 feet out of the water, jacked up on an oil rig, and the waves were busting the side of our rig. That's how high the waves were. We were tied on with ropes while we were working. That's what Peter was trying to get the point across. We need to get stirred up like violently of a storm in the ocean. Get stirred up about the fact that the last days are here. And, you know, hey, we may go another 50 years. I can't promise you in a week and a half, right after vacation Bible school, that the Lord's coming back. I don't know. The Lord may be back tonight. But we need to get stirred up in our hearts and remember what we've been taught for years and years. Those of you that's been in church most of your life or all of your life, you need to remember what the prophets have told us. That, listen, Jesus is coming back. There's going to come a day that all of this is going to come to a halt that we know. And the next thing we know, we're going to wake up in heaven. But here's the scary part. It's all of those that we're going to leave behind that either wouldn't listen or we didn't tell. And that's what you got to think about. Is it that they would not listen to you, or maybe we just neglected to let them know? We don't need to have that laying on our conscience and on our heart that, listen, I should have told this guy that, hey, Jesus is coming back one day, and let me tell you what He's done in my life. You know, He used to bum me out because I would preach and nobody'd move. And I'd be like, what am I doing wrong? You know, I just couldn't preach. Or we'd go door knocking and witness to people and nobody got saved. And I'm like, but it's not what I was doing wrong. I was doing what I was supposed to do. The Lord said, bring the word. He said, go knock on some doors. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. I'll take care of the rest. Our job is not to get them saved. Our job is to tell them how to be saved, to set the right example for them to see us, whether we be at school or whether we're at work or at Walmart or wherever we are. Our job is to let them see Christ in us. And the only way we can do that is we need to get stirred up in our hearts and our minds about the fact what Peter said. Listen, there's people, he said, they're willingly ignorant. They said, oh, everything's been going the same ever since creation. Wait a minute. Now, in my Bible, it says there was a flood. It ain't been the same since creation. So somebody's yanking your chain here. It hadn't been the same. They had a flood, and guess what? The Lord says, I'll never flood the earth again. He didn't lie. He said our rainbow in the sky, as we call it, and that's the promise that, listen, God said, you see that, Noah? That's my promise to you. I won't destroy the earth by flood anymore. But it's reserved for fire. This place will one day will burn in fervent heat. And all of this stuff we think is precious. Well, my Blue Ridge guitar. Man, you don't know how long I wanted that guitar. How long I saved up money for that guitar. Just because it says Blue Ridge on it. It's a vintage. It's made vintage. It really ain't vintage, but it's supposed to be like 100 years old. It ain't. But you know what? It's special to me. And I'm like, you know, I like that guitar. It plays good, sounds good to me. It's not quite as good as a Martin, but it's real close. But, you know, I like Martin guitars, but I like my Blue Ridge. But, hey, it's going to burn up one day. It's going to be gone. I had, there she's sitting back there. She grabbed my hat a few minutes ago. Well, a little bit ago. She grabbed it up. Here's a hat. And I'm like, whoa, 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 give me that. I don't like people messing with my hat. You know, I spend quite a bit of money for them. I pawned this one off of my son, but anyway. But listen, one day it's going to be burned up. You know, all these little precious things that my wife has, she's got them in boxes I've hauled all over the country, literally. And they are. They're special to her. Oh, got the, what, Jimmy's first little teething ring. You know, and my dad, all jokes aside, my son got really mad one day. He's in the back seat of my dad's car, and he bit the seat. And left teeth prints. You know, my dad took him forever before he'd break down and sell that car. The honk of junk by the time he sold it because it had them teeth prints in it. You know, we do that. We tend to look at all of this stuff. It's always so precious. But you know what? It's all going to burn up. It's all going to be gone one day. And so we don't need to worry about all that. It's not wrong to have it. But we don't need to worry about it. What we need to worry about and what we need to get stirred up in our hearts and minds is all these people that's going to be left behind one day. Now, starting tomorrow night, we're going to bring in a bunch of little kids. Some of them came here last year, I'm sure. There's going to be some of them have never set foot in a church. And there's going to be some, believe it or not, and it's sad to say this, in the United States of America, there's going to be some that will walk through that door and have no idea who God is, never heard of God, and sure don't know who Jesus is. Now, that's a shame. But you know what? We need to get stirred up to the point that when they come in, that we know our lessons, we know what we're teaching them. We make sure that before they leave this building, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, that they have heard the gospel and that they know how to get saved. Well, Brother Jim, that's the pastor's job. Well, you're right. But it's also your job. It's your job to see them, watch them. If they got a question, you don't know how to answer it, find somebody that does. Look for me, and I promise you, if I can't find the answer, I'll get somebody that'll have it. But they need answers to things. But their main thing we need to know is that they know who Jesus is and what Jesus done for them and what they can have if they trust Him. And we need to be stirred in our hearts and minds so that when we go out tomorrow, because a lot of you is going to be going to jobs, a lot of you is going to be out shopping, there's hardly anybody that gets near my wife that she don't start telling them about Wagon Wheel. She lets them know. They get near her, boy, she'll fire up a conversation with them. And before long, she'll say, well, you must know Jesus. And some of them, when you catch them off guard, and you say, you must know Jesus. Oh, I know who God is. No, I didn't say that. Yeah. But that's what we need to do. We need to, listen, you say, well, I don't know how to talk to somebody about that. Tell God that. He'll fix it for you. They will come to you, and when you're carrying on a conversation, they'll bring something up, and you can say, well, yeah, you know, the Lord did make a good day. Rain. I don't know how much we got. The Lord blessed the 32 drops that fell earlier. You know, and you can bring God into it. And then when you do, it just starts flowing. Listen, where's he hiding back there? He's still awake. If Miles can get somebody on the phone to call me up that had no idea who Jesus was and really didn't care, anybody can. He called me in the middle of the day and I'm like, man, you're at school. What do you, you know? He said, Pastor, you need to talk to somebody. And I'm like, he's an atheist. And I said, okay, put him on. Well, the kid got on the phone and talked to me and I said, well, hey, why don't you come to church? It ain't going to hurt you. Well, I might do that. He came to church and got saved. Amen. And bless his heart, pray for Christian. Because his family is a mess. And so he needs prayer. He can't really come. Sandy talked to him here a while back. He said, I sure miss being there. You know what? If I die today, I know I'll see him in heaven one day. So let's do what Peter said. Get stirred up in your hearts and minds to the point that you can't help but say something. like Jeremiah. He says, I'm not going to talk about it no more, God. I ain't talking about you. I ain't telling them nothing you want me to tell them. I ain't going to do it. And then all of a sudden he says, man, I had to. He said, it was like a fire in there. He said, I had to get some relief. Really is what he was saying. And that's what we need to do. Be sure that when you go out into the day, wherever you may be, that you look for the opportunity. Do you always get an opportunity? No. There's not always that chance. I was in the store last night, and this little boy comes up, and he's just over-friendly. And his mama's up here, and she's worried to death about him because she keeps moving, and he ain't moving. Oh, come on, honey. You know, and I didn't have a card to give him, but I told him. I said, you know, you ought to come to Vacation Bible School. And she said, well, we don't deal with church. And I said, well, if you do, and I told her where we was at, hey, they may be here. I don't know. Philip might have saw him somewhere in the last few days on his rounds around the apartment complexes. Remember this, too. You got to be gentle with them, but they might come in here and cuss you out. I've been cussed out by a 9-year-old, said words that I didn't even think sailors knew. I knew the Army guys knew them because I'd heard them before. But I'm serious. In Kentucky, when we were picking up bus kids, good grief, foul mouth. And I'm like, wow. You know, in church, I was looking for the roof to fall in or some lightning to come down. But, you know, it didn't take them long to figure out that they didn't need to do that. Lord worked on them. I told him, I said, no, you don't talk that way. You know, don't happen. One of the same little girls, I had told her, no, we don't use that kind of language. What's the little blonde-headed one's name? Yeah, Ariel. When I first met Ariel, we were talking to her mom and dad. No, just her mom. She didn't have a dad. She comes walking up. She said, what are you talking about, Mom? She says, church. She said, what's church? She said, well, that's where we go to worship God. She said, well, who's God? And I'm like, in Kentucky? You know, I mean, that's the belt buckle of the Bible belt, you know? We brought them to church. She said some foul language, and I'm like, wow, you know, that's... But I told them, I said, no. Don't talk that away. Before I left there, she could tell you every book in the Bible in order. She was saved. She was baptized. You know, what a blessing. But bless her heart, she was innocent. God was reading one night and out of the Bible. He was preaching to him. And I was sitting there beside her. And the verse, it says, and he saddled his ass and rode off. And she said, oh. And I said, what? She said, he's cussing. As far as she was concerned, an ass was not the donkey. But you know what? It was all innocence. But what it had done is it had taught her, and boy, she picked up on that real quick. That was a blessing to see that little girl saved. Now, when I left there, she had moved. They had moved her, and she wasn't coming to church no more. At least there. She may have been going somewhere else. But I know I'll see her in heaven one day. Boy, that is a blessing. To lead one of them little guys to Christ is a blessing. Listen, I want to tell you something. All you've got to do is you don't have to go out in no long, drawn-out process. If somebody, anybody, asked you, how can I be saved? Listen, it's not a prayer. You've got to confess it to the Lord. I'll admit that. But it's not a prayer. It's that belief in the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the Son of God and that He died on the cross, was buried, and is risen again. That's all it is. And it's them confessing to God, saying, yes, He is Lord. He is the Son of God. I believe that with all my heart. Save me. And listen, it's not a hard thing to do. And if they truly believe that, do I know that everybody I've ever talked to is going to go to heaven? I don't know that. All I know is what they've told, what I've heard them say. But that's all God told me to do, is to lead them in that direction. Show them present the gospel to them, and he'll take care of the rest. Let's all stand. We'll have an invitation. If I can get Miss Judy to sneak up here. Just play one verse of Amazing Grace. If no one moves, we'll close with one verse.